Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares my conversation with candidate for school committee, Dave Callahan. This is one of a series of conversations with candidates for the Franklin election on November 2nd, 2021. I do this to provide Franklin, Mass. Voters with accurate and timely info so that they can use it to cast an informed vote. Publication of the answers or interview responses does not constitute an endorsement of this or any candidate. We cover the candidate questions as previously developed in conjunction with you, the community, and shared with the candidates in advance. Five of the questions are general in nature. The sixth is specific to the role of the candidate, in this case, for the school committee. Our conversation runs about 29 minutes, so let's listen to my interview with Dave Callahan. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM in your browser and in the local Franklin area dial at 102.9. Here for another candidate interview for school committee, in this case, with Dave Callahan. Dave, good evening, and thank you for joining.
Hey, good evening. Thank you very much for bringing me on board for this interview. Very excited.
Absolutely. This is the whole point of these exercises. Some people know you, some people don't. So let's start with, what is your Franklin story? You know, tell us briefly about your life here so people will know, what's Dave? Who's Dave?
Absolutely. So my name is Dave Callahan, and I'm running for school committee. I've worked in the public sector for over a decade. I hold a master's degree in public administration from Framingham State College. My wife and I originally moved to Franklin in 2010 to start our family. And really, we picked Franklin because of just the amazing educational system that this community had to offer. And, you know, now kind of, you know, jump forward 11 years and have two children. My oldest daughter is in fifth grade at Kennedy, and my little guy is eagerly waiting his turn to go to Kennedy next fall. I served on the Kennedy School Council, and I've volunteered and chaperoned school events. And prior to moving to Franklin, I served as the chairman of Needham's Traffic Committee. My campaign to run for school committee began in the summer of 2020, when Franklin released 103 teachers and faculty members. The dramatic loss of these teachers drew my attention to the financial perils facing this community. Franklin has been creative with the budget for many years. We stretched each dollar to ensure the needs of our students are addressed. However, I feel we have the potential of approaching a budget crisis, which will require even more creativity to continue to provide an excellent education. As a school committee member, my plan is to ensure that Franklin maintains their educational exceptionalism in the future.
So segueing into the second of the standard set of questions, if you will, for the listeners, some of you may be familiar with that. For new listeners, there are five standard questions that are asked of all candidates. And then we get to the specific one, which is by role, but we'll hold that off for the moment. But as we're getting prep for the election in November, participating in elections is one of the key freedoms of American life, and voting is one of the primary responsibilities of citizens. So while the law does not require citizens to vote, voting is a very important part of any democracy. So what can you tell us about your own voting record? And if you have not been an active voter, please tell us why. And the real important question there as well is, how is it or should we elect people who are active participants in the election process?
So I am proud to say I voted in every election that I've been a part of. Ever since I turned 18, voting is such a proud responsibility of every American. And I do believe that, especially if you're running for public office, that you know you should have a active voting record that you're proud of. You know, I take that responsibility of voting in all elections very seriously, and really trying to, you know, instill that responsibility into my children as well. Every election day, I'll take the day off to spend with the kids. And, you know, we usually will try to do some kind of maybe patriotic arts and craft project. I have from a couple presidential cycles ago, a American flag handprint that my daughter and I did. And, you know, we've done red, white, and blue parfaits a couple of times as well for snacks later in the day. We'll always watch some, you know, any election videos and shows we can kind of find. Obviously, Schoolhouse Rocks, I'm Just a Bill, is an absolute requirement every single year. And, you know, there's also a You're Not Elected, Charlie Brown, which is, you know, Snoopy's always a fan favorite. And I really hope it's not foreshadowing to this campaign, though. You know, but then when my wife comes home, you know, now the whole family will go down to the high school and I'll vote together. Get to show my children what the ballot looks like, having explained to them, you know, who's running, why they're running, what are some of the ballot initiatives and proposals that are being talked about. And, you know, at the end, they always love to put it into the machine, see how high the numbers are. And then obviously, the huge draw is that sticker. And then even exactly, you can't.
And now they've got the kids version as well.
And they wear that. And even when the shirts have to go through the wash, they make sure to take the sticker off so they can kind of slap it onto the door somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually we've ended the night afterwards. We'll go to, in the past, we've gone to Froyo or we'll do some other sweet treat afterwards. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, you know, kind of stop there, because even the following day, you know, at breakfast time, as the kids are eating the cereal, we kind of talk about the results, because it's you know, just as important to kind of understand the voting process than how it concludes and how it impacts, you know, our lives. And so I believe it is absolutely critical for all, and especially those running, to be an active and informed voter. And, you know, I know that, you know, talking about being the importance of being, you know, an active voter is kind of like preaching to the choir right now. Everybody that's listening, you know, to these messages and to these podcasts, you know, they're already they know how important it is, and they're doing the best to inform themselves. And that's why I really kind of, for anyone who is listening, you know, please kind of, you know, share this message and the other ones that for this amazing cast of individuals that are running in all the contested positions in Franklin. And, you know, really to not only to listen for yourself, but to share so that your neighbors can be informed as well. Because, you know, really the best Franklin is when we have seven wonderful, amazing people on the school committee. You know, that's our best path forward. And it's going to be achieved when we can really engage, you know, our citizens and have the most informed, active voting populace.
We could spend hours on that one just alone. That's for sure. But mindful of your time and others' time, we'll segue into the other unfortunate pandemic that we've been in, but certainly public health is key to all of our lives. So the couple of questions here, but, you know, have you been vaccinated for COVID-19? Do you think there should be a mask mandate if it comes to that in Franklin? But really, finally, I think the key measure is what is your take on how should government take steps to protect the public from the virus? And how should those efforts be delineated between local, state, and federal governments?
So just right to the point, yes, I've been vaccinated. And I encourage all those that are able to do so as well. You know, the only way that we're going to get through this period is by working together. To those other questions. So, you know, my professionally, my background comes from, you know, working with public policy, and my education is in a master's of public administration. And, you know, when elected to the school committee member, I plan to utilize all those tools that I've gained from my education and from my, you know, 10 years in the public sector to write the best and most effective policies and to analyze and craft a well-balanced and financially stable budget, because that's where my background and my experiences come from. When it comes to these medical questions, that's not where my education or background lie. And so mm-hmm. because of that, I would, you know, consistently defer to the medical experts. And, you know, we have both at the local, at the state, at the federal level, you know, there are individuals who have dedicated their entire lives to both working and studying healthcare issues that I have not. And so anytime that any of those questions were to pop up, both here and also as a school committee member, would be deferring to the medical experts and would be encouraging all others to be listening to those medical experts and whatever requirements or guidelines that they're passing down. I would hope that whenever a decision does need to be made, that those experts do act both, clear and swiftly, while, also letting us know the medical metrics and information that's being used to guide them in their decisions. But again, to kind of round it out, I would, forever be deferring my input to the medical professionals that have dedicated their entire lives to being able to properly answer those questions.
So shifting along to give you a kind of a platform on the bigger Franklin, if you would, at least briefly, to share some of your insights, and from a public sector, I think this might be more appropriate for you as well. So what are three important actions you believe Franklin need to take to move forward?
Absolutely. So I think the first one, I'm breaking new ground here by talking about the budget and the budget issues that we have in Franklin. There are numerous budget issues that this community is currently facing and will be facing over the next couple of years. To this question, I like to kind of keep it contained just to education. But yeah, as I mentioned, the reason why I moved to Franklin is because of the amazing and the excellent educational system that we have in place. However, at that same time, when you look at our investment into our students, kind of compared across the entire Commonwealth, our district ranks in the bottom 25%. There's a significant, really gap in what we say that we're valuing, our education and our investment to that education. And as I mentioned at the top of the interview, we have been incredibly creative with our budget, and we have stretched each dollar to ensure that we're still providing a world-class education. However, because of the budgetary issues that we've incurred, we've had to cut numerous programs all the way from K to 12. We've also had to increase user fees to the families. And even bigger point as well was, again, when back in June of 2020, when we had to release 103 teachers because we didn't know if we were going to be able to financially afford them back in the fall. The budget needs to be addressed. We need to be able to work on multiple solutions. And I know that one of the later questions talks about that structural deficit. So I'll go into more detail later on. But I do think that the budgetary issues that we have kind of lead into second part, which is that in the future, I believe that Franklin's going to have tremendous difficulty attracting and retaining teachers and administrators. And, because of that budgetary issues that we're facing, we likely have difficulty keeping our wages competitive in the future. But, and perhaps even more importantly, when we released those 103 teachers because we had those financial issues, I truly believe that we kind of sent out a message to all prospective teachers that there's an issue with our job security. And so whether or not you are a veteran teacher that's looking to move into this amazing district, or you're a brand new teacher fresh out of school wanting to start your career here, in either of those cases, because of the events of the summer of 2020, when we laid off 103 teachers, may give those new applicants pause, wondering whether or not if they are asked to teach in the fall, and despite doing an amazing job in teaching our students to the fullest, that when June comes around, they might meet that same fate, and they might just be told that we don't know if we can rehire you. We'll contact you again later on in the summer. And I think that that's going to cause issues for us when we're looking to attract and really retain some of the best quality applicants that are out there out of the sphere. And I think that Franklin needs to be able to send strong signals to state, one, that we are kind of, you know, regaining stability within our budget, and two, that we are invested to these teachers as they are invested to our children. The last point, in this one, it speaks to the entire country, but our community as well. You know, we've seen over the years just an increased division between our people, between just neighbor to neighbor, you know, countrymen to countrymen. You know, so often, you know, individuals would rather yell than talk, or just ignore another one than listen. You know, and this is an issue that's been happening across the entire nation, but, you know, sadly, Franklin's not immune to some of these divisive tactics in communication. And it's completely impossible for us to ever agree upon a solution when we can't even talk about a problem from one-to-one or face-to-face. Franklin needs to ensure that we are constantly welcoming and accepting of everyone within, you know, this great community. And that extends beyond just the politics, but that, you know, in terms of, you know, where your families come from or what holidays you celebrate or who you choose to love. As a school committee member, I will ensure that each decision that I make is made with every individual across the spectrum that lives in our community, to ensure that everyone who does live here always feels a part of this community, welcomed and heard.
And the last of the five questions, as we've teased, and I think you've alluded to some of it and spoken to possibly some of it. I don't want to pre-anticipate some of your answers, but what experience or background will help you to serve in this role in the school committee? Or another way to phrase it is, what do you bring to the table that would help set you apart from some of the other candidates for this role?
So I first just got to throw it out there that every fiber of my being just wants to kind of make a little self-deprecating joke and talk about how great some of the other candidates are. I understand that everyone who's listening is listening to kind of hear about me specifically. So in terms of why I may be one of the best candidates to serve, I'll say just to start again with my education. Master's in public administration from Framingham State University. And throughout that, I had a focus with public policy, grant writing, and also public budgeting. In terms of with the grant writing, I hope that I may be able to assist others throughout the district in drafting and acquiring grant funding, just as an additional source of revenue to be able to come on in, just to help with some of the structural deficits that we have with the budget. But also with the budget, through, you know, the tools I've acquired with public budgeting, be able to immediately just jump right into that field and work to create a more financially stable budget from year over year. Professionally, past 11 years working in the public sector, where one aspect of the job is about policy writing, policy researching, and policy implementation. And so from the get-go, be able to jump into the subcommittee on policy and to begin to start to researching some of the new guidelines that we're looking at, being able to write them in a clear in concise manner that's easily understood by all the public and by all stakeholders involved, and also to ensure that it can be implemented easily and across every school within the district. And personally, always had a passion for politics and for governance. that's what drew me into to when I was living in Needham prior to coming to Franklin, into the traffic committee, where I served on the traffic committee and then later chaired the committee as well. And from there, learned how you know, committees can operate, you know, and do operate on the local level, how committees will interact with the public, being able to listen to their concerns, hear what's being said, and try to make the best path forward after listening to citizen engagement. And through the passion with politics, I really always felt that as a student of politics, it helps to read the tea leaves, to kind of understand what's going on at the state and at the federal level. How I think this might be able to help Franklin as a school committee member is that if we can understand, have a pretty good idea about what's coming on down the pipeline, it helps us to be able to prepare different contingencies and to anticipate what some of the changes that may be coming down. So that way, when they do come on down and they do actually you know, hit our district, that we'll be able to be far more proactive rather than just to wait until the information's in front of our desks and have to react to that.
And the final question, specific to the school committee and the role you're going forward, you alluded to before that certainly you're aware the Franklin Public School District manages the largest portion of the overall town of Franklin's budget. What are your ideas to help solve some of the structural deficit that at least we've recognized is in the operating budget?
Day one, what I plan to be doing is to be addressing the unfunded mandates. And so these are, you know, policies that are implemented from the state, but given down to us at the district level to enforce without any funding behind it. And so it's these unfunded mandates are, you know, expenses, and then kind of oftentimes they leave us holding the check. Franklin can do best when we're allowed to govern for ourselves. And by addressing some of these unfunded mandates, reclaiming some of the funds, be able to direct the funding that was being spent on these unfunded mandates towards many of the programs that Franklin itself is looking to fund. When we're looking at these unfunded mandates, want to be able to illustrate what they are to the public and the cost associated with each one of them. Because by bringing them up, by highlighting each of the unfunded mandates that are within our budget, we can then work with state and local leaders to potentially petition the state to refund or really reclaim that money. And there are avenues when we do work with state and local leaders to be able to work with the state house and try to notify them of the unfunded mandates and acquire that additional funding source. And again, just as, you know, help with grant writing abilities to add in an extra stream, a revenue stream, if we can begin to pull in additional funding from the state house to fund these unfunded mandates, then that opens up funding and reallocates funding that we'll be able to put into other avenues. There's something also that I truly believe we'll be able to help work to resolve that structural deficit is an increase in community engagement. So, yeah, as I mentioned before, it was the summer of 2020 when 103 teachers and faculty members were laid off. That was a splash of cold water on my face. And it really got me far more engaged than I had been previously. However, even if we were to look at the catalyst for this entire campaign, could really even be traced back largely to school committee member Tim Keenan's statements that 75% of all districts invest more in their students than Franklin does. When I heard that stat, it got me mad. It got me engaged. It got me energized, but it got me mad. The following day, I went to the DOE's website to look at the numbers, just to have a better idea of it myself. And I was absolutely astonished at how far I had to scroll down before I saw Franklin. And that, because truly, when you look at the expenditures per pupil that Franklin is spending, 75% of all districts are spending more, are investing more in our students than we are. That one line led me to take such a deep dive into the finances of Franklin, into the budgetary process, brought me to pulling the papers, to running this campaign, to doing the interview here tonight, and it will continue to bring me to November 2nd. Any good that I've done up until this point, and any good that I can do to this community if elected on November 2nd, is all due to that one line. If elected, I plan to try to energize this community in the same fashion that school committee member had energized me. Because it's through that we can reach out and to more individuals. We have some fantastic members of this community. Some I've had the pleasure of meeting in person and virtually. We have a great number of individuals that are already actively engaged in doing everything they can to help just make Franklin the greatest community that it can be. But if we can just engage even more of our citizens, they'll be able to bring in so many new, fresh ideas, different perspectives. And I truly believe this isn't a problem, the structural deficit that can be solved by seven people. The best way that we'll be able to solve these structural deficits and these issues is by working together as an entire community and bringing in everyone's voice. And to that point, I think we also really need to ensure that we can get community alignment, because we're going to work best when we work together and when we can align on the problems and the solutions facing this community. If that fact of 75% of all districts outspending Franklin is upsetting to you, and you think that, and the community thinks that we need to invest more in our students, even tackling issues like that will only work when our community is completely aligned together. And the only way to be doing that is by engaging with our citizenry, by listening to what everyone is talking about, ensuring that every single Franklin resident, their issues are heard, and that we can all work together on the agreed upon problems and solutions.
Thank you for that. And I know while we've covered those six questions, if there's something else that we haven't covered that you'd like to leave for the listeners and voters, this is the time and opportunity to do so.
I just want to thank everybody for listening to this. I want to thank everybody who has been able to speak with and meet throughout this entire campaign. Franklin truly is a remarkable community. And it's because all of us here doing the best that we can to make this even greater. I would love your support on November 2nd. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me and provide Steve with contact information. And I'm also available on Facebook as well. I believe that information will be listed at the end of this post too. Yeah, thank you all very much.
That's one of the key pieces we'll be looking to validate to make sure that the show notes contain the appropriate contact info. And I believe they're going to get your Facebook page anyway, but we'll confirm those links.
Yep. Terrific. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking time. And on behalf of the voters and residents, best of luck on November 2nd. And thank you for taking time today.
Thank you, Steve.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.